Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. Today, I've got 10 questions for my guest about being on Catholic radio. Actually, my guest today is me. And the questions are those that have been most commonly asked to me over the course of the years. And I thought, hey, this would be kind of a fun program to interview myself about, well, in this instance, being on Catholic radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of our lives. Lord, I ask for that gift of gratitude, that gift of appreciation, Jesus, for all the blessings that you pour out upon our lives. Lord, help us not to take you for granted, not to take the good things that you constantly pour out upon our lives for granted. Help us to live generously. Lord, help us to live courageously. And give us the grace to live in a way that radiates you above all else. Lord, we just want to glorify you in our lives. We make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Physician, heal thyself. Catholic radio host, interview thyself. I enjoy interviewing so much, and that'll actually come up in the course of these 10 questions that I have for myself today on the program. I'm doing this, I think, mostly because of two things. The first is the power and importance of testimony. It's something that I've witnessed in reading He Leadeth Me and now going back through with God in Russia. I witnessed it at the Chesterton graduation, which I referenced yesterday. I witnessed it. So that's the first reason is when you hear testimonies, there's a way in which people can come to get a better insight into the ways that God draws close to us, the way that the Lord is at work in us. And I'm also doing it as a means of reflection. Carrie and I went away a couple of weeks ago and had a tremendous time of reflecting back and reflecting forward. And it has made me more grateful for the Lord and for his many benefits in our lives. And memory has a very powerful component to it, that it can help us to remember, to bring back to the present, to realize the many ways that maybe when we're not aware of them in the moment, that God is at work, that God has been at work, that God is blessing. And just as I sit here today, I feel this sense of a prompting to give testimony and also have a heart that has gratitude in it for the Lord and for the blessings that he has given to me. So I do this as an example for you. I do this as a means of encouragement to you, that don't be shy. Or maybe this is a help to overcome a sense of privacy or discretion around the way that the Lord is involved in your life and the gratitude you have for it. That's a beautiful gift that you can bring to someone else. So that's my hope today. All right. So here are my 10 questions. The first one is, what inspired you to become a Catholic radio host? And How did you start your career in radio broadcasting? Well, what inspired me to become a Catholic radio host were Christian radio hosts. Actually, let me specify. Anti-Catholic Christian radio hosts were an inspiration to me. Not even a question. My faith awoke in an encounter with Christ in the Eucharist during the summer after my freshman year in college, and it changed the entire trajectory of my life after the manner of Pope Benedict XVI in his famous encyclical, God is Love, that being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or a profound idea, but an encounter with a person, an event that gives life with Jesus Christ, which gives life a whole new horizon and a definitive direction. And that's what happened when I had this encounter with Christ. My whole life changed. And I had this passion and zeal to want to bring to others the gift of the awakened faith, the fire of faith, the sense of meaning and purpose and freedom and life and all these benefits and blessings that came from knowing in a whole new way who I am and what I'm supposed to be about because of my Catholic faith. And I wanted to share that with others. So I began to look around for resources, like where can I come in contact with Catholic stuff? And back then, this is now in 1983, in the summer of 83, I discovered Christian radio. And it was, I guess it wasn't a Catholic radio station. It wasn't a Christian. It was this radio station that had on faith-based programming. Now, it was either Christian or Catholic. So, for instance, they had the Rosary. And they had on a program called with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And he was so inspiring to me. Anyways, just listening to him on the radio, very inspiring. I'm jumping ahead to a future question. But I think that my principal inspiration came from a program that was on 10 to 11 in the morning. And it was this anti-Catholic guy, Pastor Stevens. And it was a call-in show. And he would give a teaching for a time. And then he'd take on callers. And the callers were very often older Catholic ladies. Because remember now, this is in the Boston area. So filled with, lifelong Catholics who maybe hadn't been deeply catechized and formed in their faith, but it was in their bones. And so he would raise concepts and ideas that essentially were undermining the Catholic faith and presenting the Catholic faith as a false religion, and that he had true answers to these questions. And so he'd bring on these people, these sweet ladies. He would confuse them. He would correct them. And then he'd say, hold the line and we'll connect you with somebody who can get you connected to our church. And that got me so mad. So I would call and I would ask difficult questions, questions that would lead almost unavoidably to the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith as the true faith and the true church. And he would get so mad at me. And I, sad to say, I was delighted in that I could throw him off his game, get him upset, and make him look not so clever or not so clean and not so secure in what he was saying was the truth. Because here I am, just this kid, and I was able to ask him questions about the inspiration of Scripture and about the Eucharist and about other practices that were, that predated his understanding of Christianity. And I got to tell you that experience, plus listening to Father Tom DiLorenzo, was a real inspiration to me to want to be of service to others and to help them understand the faith, and seeing radio as a powerful platform for doing that. Now, with that as a starting point, that was in 1983, it would take 20 years for me to actually end up on the radio. And that only happened because of the gift of Sacred Heart Radio starting in the Pacific Northwest with its first station in Kirkland and in the Seattle area, KBLE Seattle. And Ron Belter, the founding president, general manager of Sacred Heart Radio. And here he is 23 years later, still going strong. Amazing. What a gift to given to him to have that chunk of his life be given over to Catholic radio. And it has been such a privilege and gift to me to be able to get on the radio. And it really, you know, I think the part of the reason it happened was because of Scott Hahn. Dr. Scott Hahn and Kimberly came out here, and they came out here because I knew them and I invited them to come out and speak at this conference. And I think that elevated my credibility in their eyes. I had been around for a handful of years giving talks at parishes and missions and things like that, but I didn't have any background in radio. I had a background as a speaker, speaking at conferences for, say, 10 years, 15 years, but not radio. So it was a slow process of me learning radio and Ron being patient. Funny stories around that, but that's how I got started. It was because of Ron Belter and Sacred Heart Radio, and Bob Gunderson was clearly someone also at the founding of Sacred Heart Radio, along with his wonderful wife Pam and the great folks that welcomed me in and to be able to do this program. So what a huge blessing. So that's how it all began. Let's see. Second question. I've got 10 questions for myself. I'm interviewing myself. Tom, that was very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. What about, can you share a particularly memorable moment or interview from your time on the radio? A particularly memorable moment or interview from your time on the radio. So memorable moments, it's probably hard to top the moment that ended up launching my daily time on the air, my daily broadcast. And that was on the air when it was announced that Pope John Paul II had died. I had actually a TV crew at my house in Federal Way, and they were interviewing me about the Pope and his, soon to be death. And they just finished the interview. They left the house. It was announced that he died. I got on the radio and started to talk about the Pope and his death live on the air with Ron, actually. And then it just ended up being the case that everybody wanted to talk about John Paul II and his impact, his legacy, and who was going to be the next Pope and all of that. And so it just made sense for me to be on every day after that, especially after that. You know, you had these days leading up to the funeral of John Paul II, which you had about 4 million people show up in Rome for a funeral. And it was like the most watched event in human history on TV at the time. And it was a funeral, right? And all these amazing stories of that. And anyway, so that was, it's interesting. The launch of my being on every day was one of the most memorable moments for sure. I would say a second was having a chance to interview people whom I admired and who were, just let's say, extraordinary in their own following of Christ and of their service to the faith or the church. And I think of Chuck Colson, and I think of this priest who he's actually a Discalced Carmelite, and he's famous as one of the leading scholars in the world in St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila, Kieran Cavanaugh. And I didn't have any connection to either of these men, this famous, you know, politician from Watergate, and then his conversion in prison and reading Mere Christianity. And then he comes out and starts Prison Fellowship and has all of this huge impact and tries to bring Catholics and evangelicals together, right? So he was having such a big impact in his life. And it was really at one of the high points in his own life in ministry, apostolate, that it was through a friend of mine who knew him that said, I'll get him on the radio. And so I had a chance to interview him about one of his new initiatives that had to do with forming men and women who could be culture changers. They could help change the culture. And it had to do with forming a Christian mindset or worldview. And I was so humbled when talking with him. And during the interview, I very naturally and simply put forward an understanding of the concept of culture. And I was just sharing John Paul II's understanding of it, but did it and related that to the concept of mindset and worldview. And it was something that caused him to respond and say, wow, that was better said than I think I've ever heard before. That is really well. And so for me, that was so humbling to be able to have somebody that I, you know, admired as someone who's very profound to be able to think that I had an interview with him was a privilege. And then the fact that I had some degree of being able to maintain a conversation that he found valuable. And interviewing Father Kieran Cavanaugh was, again, a beautiful thing. And there was one thing he said that moved me very deeply in our interview. And I was asking him about St. John of the Cross, and he, you know, just talk about throw softballs, and he just would hit a home run with all of these beautiful answers. And then I shared a little bit about St. John of the Cross and bringing up some insight from him or something like that. And he said, you know, John. And again, it stopped me in my tracks. It was very humbling, and it was very beautiful that someone who's this world leader, expert in St. John of the Cross, who's the one who's the editor of the collected writings and the translator of the collected writings in English of St. John's works, St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila. And for him to say, you know, John, it was spontaneous. And he said it with a sense of like intimacy, like he knew John, right? And for him to say, wow, it's like, oh, you know, my friend, you know, that beloved companion of mine, was very humbling to me because I love St. John of the Cross. And I don't just mean I love his writings. I meant I love him. I've asked him for prayers for 50 years, well, 40 years. Yeah, for 40 years, I've asked St. John of the Cross to pray for me. And so those are two. I've kind of gone over already, but just wanted to pass that on. Okay, we'll come up against a break, come back. More questions for our guest today, which is me, about being a Catholic radio host. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. I want to say this, just kind of say it out loud, just to say it. Those last two stories that I talked about as the most memorable events, or two memorable interviews that I've had, the question was memorable moments on the radio. I didn't give a lot of thought to it. So these are just two that came up spontaneously. And in a certain sense, I'm just giving a testimony. And my goal is not to draw attention to myself. In fact, that's one of the more important ideas that I want to bring out. In fact, that's the next question is, have there been any influential figures or mentors in your career who have guided you along the way? And if you've listened to Sound Insight for 20 years, you hear me mention this Father Mark Noonan, who was my philosophy professor first at St. John's Seminary when I entered as a junior in college. He taught a class in my second semester on the human person, which changed my life. I just found it so profound. I kept his notes. I went through those class notes for 20 years until I lost them in some move. What a loss that the box that had those notes in it are gone. And anyways, but he shared things with me that undergird how I do radio. And things like, for instance, this just comes up when I was sharing memorable moments. I felt a little uncomfortable sharing memorable moments that might separate me from you, the listener. I want to have a sense of shared experience with you. And this is a principle that came from him. He said, when you're speaking, when you're teaching, when you're presenting, when you're preaching, don't just share your experience, share our experience. Because if you just share your experience, then it's something that I can't share in, I can't join in on, I can't participate in. And that puts you at a distance from me. And oftentimes on the radio, it means elevated above me. And therefore, it's something that I can look to, but not share in. And instead, he said, when it comes time to teach or present or teach or share, he said, share our experience. Talk about our experience, not just your experience, but talk about your experience in such a way that it's also our experience, so that it's something that we can relate to. It's something that we can connect to. And when you do that, you will have more influence. You will have a greater impact on the people that you're talking to, because they will find what it is you're saying more relevant, more meaningful. They will be able to welcome it into their lives more deeply. And that has been a pillar for me in my time on the radio. And it would seem to me, this is well, my own experience of when people come to me and say, Tom, I enjoy your radio program. And I've shared already that it's often they'll say they enjoy my programs with Carrie the most. I think it's because what they'll say is, you're real, you're authentic. You're not talking at us. You're not preaching down on us. You're not elevated above us. You're not condescending to us. You're actually putting it right out there in a way that makes us say, holy cow, we're not alone. We are not alone. And that is so encouraging. And it gives us hope. And we actually can smile because you're naming our experience. And now, because it's something that we can relate to, then it's something that we might also say, okay, we can take a step forward. We can elevate what we're doing. So I do want you to know that there's a bit of a method to my madness in how I share on the radio. And when Carrie and I are on, the way that we talk is a bit vulnerable, a bit out there in terms of really trying to be transparent and yet appropriate and conversational in a way that it makes you feel like you're right there with us. That is entirely intentional. We do that because it's, well, for Carrie, it's the only way for her to be on. But for me, it is so important because it then can accomplish the mission of the program, which is to help you. That's why I'm here. I'm here as a sense of being called by God to be of service to you so that you can live your faith more deeply by understanding the teachings of the church more fully, by appropriating them, making your own the goodness of these truths, and realizing that goodness in your life so that you can live the faith in a more radiant fashion in this world, thereby fulfilling, in some ways, helping you fulfill and foster your sense of identity as a holy disciple of Jesus Christ, called to go deeper as a Catholic into your own relationship with the Lord, called to be a saint. And hey, you and I are here together. We're here together in this short period, little swath of human history. We're here together, and you've got a mission, and I've got a mission. And maybe if I can share a few things that can help you and live your mission to discover it, to grow in it, to be more fruitful in living it, bam, home run, let's go. That is exciting to me. So influential figure, not a question, Father Mark Noonan, and how he has guided me. I just only shared with you one of those many, many, many insights that have that manifest themselves, that impact how it is I talk with you and how it is I talk about the Catholic faith. So there you go. That's my third question. Well, I've got 10 questions to get through today about being a Catholic radio host for 20 years and felt like it was a timely thing to give a bit of testimony and to express gratitude for the gift of Catholic radio and being on Catholic radio. Okay, next question. How do I connect with my audience and ensure that my content resonates with them? Well, I feel like I just answered that question. to refine it again, one of the things that I do, I actually like radio in part as compared to speaking in front of a crowd. I am a bit of an introvert. And so I really enjoy the idea of connecting with you while not being even in the same room with you. And that means it does mean that I have a certain like consciousness, a certain kind of mindset that as I go about what I'm doing, I'm sitting in front of a chair. I'm sitting in front of a window. And I really truly do have this idea in my mind that I'm talking to someone that's right there in front of me in that chair, or there's a couple of us around the table. So I am gesticulating with my hands, moving my hands around and I'm smiling, I'm laughing, I'm talking energetically, just like I was with a group of friends. And so I think part of the way that I connect with my audience is that I am present in the sort of the energy I bring and the way that I talk on the radio in a way that is meant to be very conversational. And yet at the same time, I'm packing into that conversational mode of being on the radio lots of content and lots of content that has different layers to it or different levels to it. And those who have the ears to hear are able to pick up those different levels or layers. And I think that has to do with people's background, their formation, whether it's philosophical or theological or the familiarity with certain theological movements or schools or different teachings of the Pope and styles of writing and all of that. I will occasionally, when I'm bringing up a point like that, I will draw attention to it and call it out and break it open and go deep into it. And I love doing that. I love, again, part of the mission I feel is to hand on to you what I myself have received. And one of the gifts I've received is the opportunity to study the Catholic faith so extensively and intensively and deeply in my theological training and since then as well. So to be able to say, that was a gift given to me, but it's not only for me. It was a gift given to me, but one of the reasons, and who knows when we get to heaven, I hope, you know, that I'm there, that the Lord will reveal, hey, you know, do you remember all that stuff that time you spent in the seminary and studying theology? That was because you were going to be on the radio. That was one of the primary purposes that I had you in that place, was that you would be ready to share on the radio. So I find that in the mystery of what's God doing in your life? Why has God had you be formed and shaped and molded to follow a certain path for years? Yeah, it's for you. It's for you to, because it's a blessing and the Lord wants to bless you. But it's not only for you. It's for the sake of others. It's for the sake of those whom God puts in relationship to you. So hold on to that. Hold on to the reality that in this conversation that we're having, you and me, we're having this conversation, you and I, we are having this conversation, that, you know, God has had me go down a path and then I got diverted. And I went over there and then I got brought over this way. And what was that all about? Why am I hearing this now? God, what are you saying to me through this conversation reaching my ears or my heart right now? Those are great questions. And so as I share with you in the way that I share with you, my hope is that it'll lead you to an interior dialogue with the Lord or a dialogue with others in your circle, you know, the ones that are closest to you, that maybe you're not having just because of the way that your sort of conversational life and in the path of your own thinking takes you. Listening to this program can maybe help you get some new direction, a new path to think about. So think about that in your life. For whom are you a person that can help be a blessing, an encouragement, enter a conversation that will help shift someone's day, move someone forward in faith? So there you go. So that's part of my concept of audience engagement, in addition to the things that I've already shared right now. Okay, so that's my fourth question. Fifth question. What are some of the biggest challenges you've faced in your career, and how have you overcome them? Well, I wish I could say that the biggest challenges have been overcome. I'll be honest. Well, why do I have to begin a statement by saying, I'll be honest? Well, of course I'll be honest. So I don't even have to say it, right? Those are wasted words there. But I guess I'll say, I'll be vulnerable. There you go. I'll be vulnerable in sharing that the biggest challenges that I've faced in my time as a Catholic radio host, and so in my career, that was the way the question was posed, is related to trusting the Lord to provide financially for my ministry and for my family. I would say, now that sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? What's the biggest challenge I face in my career in radio, 20 years in radio? It's around trusting God for finances. Okay, let's be a little more specific. So I mentioned I started in Catholic radio in 2003 part-time, and then 2005 full-time. Daily, not part-time, and then a daily program. I've never done it as a full-time job. I couldn't just be on the radio an hour a day and have that be my career. Maybe some can. I can't. All right. I'm actually up against a break. When we come back, I'll pick up on this thread and you'll see what I mean.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. All right, biggest challenges in I faced in my time being on Catholic radio. So when I first came on, I was the executive director of a nonprofit ministry called My Catholic Faith Ministries. And the goal of that was rise and come forward. Mark 3:3, rise and come forward, right? The man with the withered hand in the synagogue, and Jesus is there on the Sabbath, and they're all looking to see if he's going to cure someone. And he sees the man with the withered hand, and he says to him, rise and come forward. Stand up, come out from among the crowd, and stand here in the middle. And says to him, you know, to his hand, stretch out your hand, and he's healed. He heals the man in front of the crowd. And as a result of that, it stirs a response that makes the Sadducees and the Pharisees want to plot against Jesus. You know, well done, Jesus. Mission accomplished. There you go. And what is it that provokes the people? It was the visible witness of the one who becomes the sign and wonder. Okay, did you hear that language? Jesus calls a man out, a man who had faith, a Jewish man of faith. How do we know he was a man who had faith? He was in the synagogue. So he's a man who he's active, he's praying, he's showing up in the synagogue, and yet he has a withered hand. He has a withered hand existence. And essentially, when you're in a synagogue, you're in the crowd. And I think that that is so many Catholics. We're so many Catholics where we think that God looks down on the world and sees a crowd. And my ministry, my apostolate was dedicated. By the way, my ministry, my apostolate, you hear me say that language? Just a little funny side note. I'm comfortable saying the word ministry, but there are some who have a theological bent that wants to identify the concept of ministry only with Jesus Christ and his work in his official ministers, his ordained ministers, the clergy. And so when you have the laity who are working in faith-based settings, doing work that is associated with the fostering of the building up of the church or the work of the church entering into the world, they will often use the word apostolate. So apostolic, being sent forth, right? The apostle is the one sent. The disciple is the one who follows, right? So I'll often use both words. I'll say my ministry or my apostolate. And I say that because more people are comfortable, casual and comfortable with the idea that, oh yeah, I have a ministry and here's the kind of stuff that I do. But I know for some that are more theologically particular, that's a bit cringeworthy and that's not precise and it's not correct. And you should actually say it is either a nonprofit organization, or if it's got faith at its essence and it's a faith-based activity, you can call it an apostolate rather than a ministry. So that's just a little side note. There you go. I wonder if you ever knew that. So in my apostolate, my Catholic faith ministries, it was a principal way that I was taking care of my family, and yet it was a nonprofit organization, and therefore there are limits and rules about how much money an executive director can make, and it's connected to the total revenue that was taken in by the nonprofit organization. It has to be a certain percentage, right? And then you have to have other examples of ministries that are like yours that have salaries that are also like yours. Well, in 2003, I was just having my third kid, but as the number of kids grew, God was blessing us with children, then the amount of income I needed to take care of our family was also growing rapidly. And so I faced this question. This is all raising that concept of the biggest challenge. And it was, Lord, how can you provide for me financially and my wife so that we can own a home, have my wife stay at home, be open to having a large family if God were to bless us with that, and to be able to send them to Catholic schools? But that's a pretty tall order. That's a pretty high bar. And I certainly knew from being in ministry for 14 years at that point, from 1989 to 2003, when I first made my appearance on the radio, and then in 2005 started to have my own program, and then looking for as a nonprofit organization, people to give donations. That was really hard. That was really hard for me as a guy to say, I'm going to trust that people will give. And that means I have to ask people to give. And if I'm asking people to give to the ministry, what they're often really focused on giving to is me. You know, Tom, we want to support you. We want to support you so that you can keep doing this. And honestly, I just didn't like it. I didn't like that idea that I needed to go out and ask people to make donations to this, the pointing at this nonprofit organization over here, which is actually me and a handful of other people, when a good portion of what the money that was given was just coming to me in the form of a salary. It just was something that I always struggled with. And that was my biggest challenge. So we would do fund, we would do these pledge drives on my own program, and we started sponsors to be on my program. And eventually in 2016, when I shut down the nonprofit organization, I closed it and joined more in a clearer way with Sacred Heart Radio, where my program came under Sacred Heart Radio. And they started to pay me. I didn't have to raise money to do the radio anymore. That was much more comfortable to me. I am much more comfortable raising money for Sacred Heart Radio than I was for my own ministry. So that was the biggest challenge that I faced. And what it comes down to was, Lord, do I really have to ask people for money so that I can provide for my family? And Lord, will you really be able to provide for my family? I know I say that out loud. It sounds crazy, but Lord, will you really be able to provide for my family if I just did ministry? Don't I also have to do coaching and consulting with senior executives and CEOs and business owners? And I don't know if I ever really, in the 25 years that I did executive coaching and serving these CEOs and top folks, I don't know if I ever really came to a perfect peace with the part that was meant to play in my life, honestly. I definitely had lots of God used it for sure to provide for my family doing that work in addition to my ministry work. And in some ways, it feels like that work has been able to, I don't know, be redeemed or be turned into a more direct blessing because I now use those strategy, consulting, and executive coaching skills and sort of matured capabilities that applied in corporate America. I use them in my real estate work, helping buyers and sellers, helping so many faith-based folks like you guys. And, you know, you're like, gosh, you know, how do I discern a move? Is it right for my family? Is it right for me? Is it right for me to do this? And I just draw on all of those, well, couple decades of experience to help these folks be clean and clear and strategic in buying or selling a home. So it's like, wow, Lord, you really took those gifts that I developed in one realm, and now I'm using them in a different realm, but in a realm that is more clearly centered on faith. I know that sounds weird, but for me, real estate is about a mission to help families flourish, and families who are often moving out of time, out of step, wasn't their plan and purpose, but boy, they need to move, and to be able to help them do that heavy lift and to make a move that is also strategically wise and spiritually good discernment. I love to be able to use those gifts for that purpose. So again, I share that with you to say God took some of these biggest challenges that I've faced in my life to refine me. And so to refine in me the idea that God is my provider. He's a good shepherd. He will take care of me. And one of the ways that he takes care of me is by allowing me to become desperate. Boy, that was a surprising word, huh? But God allows me to become desperate. All right, Lord, how are you going to take care of us? Lord, where are you in all of this? And when I think about these past 20 years on the radio, there have been just, you know, big stretches of time where there were trials and tribulations and difficulties, and it was about refining in me humility and trust. Am I willing to be humiliated and humbled by the life circumstances I'm in and trust that the Lord will take care of us and take care of us even in shocking ways? And that has been part of the testimony, is God's shocking generosity. All right, up against a break. Back in a minute with more questions. Welcome back to the program. All right, so 10 questions, and I'm on number 7. Ta-da! No, 6. What's the likelihood in the last 11 minutes of this program I'm going to get through the last 6 questions? Might be able to do it. I just might. You know, I think I'm 6. 6, question number 6? Yeah. Okay, so number 6. In what ways has your work impacted your personal spirituality? In what ways has your work impacted your, my work on the radio, impacted my personal spirituality? I'm going to limit this to one concept. And it's the concept of the microphone. And this has really deeply impacted me spiritually. I'm not the voice, I'm the microphone. If I'm doing my job well on the radio, I'm not the voice, I'm the microphone. Well, Tom, I'm hearing your voice. What are you talking about? I think you know. I think you get it. Well, if I'm not the voice, who's the voice? Oh, hopefully, and this is my prayer, and this is what I seek, and this is what I strive for, this is what I'm dedicated to, this is my serious effort and my constant plea, Lord, please be the voice that uses this program and therefore my voice as a microphone for your voice to be heard. That, for me, is the biggest deal. The most profound compliment I can ever get from folks who I encounter in you know, Catholic settings and, hey, I listen to you on the radio, is when they come back with a story, a specific event, a program they were listening to, and they say, Tom, it was the Lord. What you said was exactly what I was asking for from the Lord. The Lord spoke through you. And then I just take, I throw my hands in the air, not visibly. Let's just say, thank you, Lord. Mission accomplished. That's where I sense the greatest type of gratitude is that somehow the Lord was able to use what I was saying to be a conduit, a door, a vessel of communication for his voice, for him to show up. And doing this day to day, Monday to Friday for 20 years, that's a lot of programs. And there's no way for me to do this. This is just one thing I do in my life. And to be able to do this day to day is, if it's not God's grace, man, I'm just going to get in the way. I am just going to get in the way. So my prayer, my constant prayer is, Lord, please, please get me out of the way. Please use this program, this show, for you to do what you intend, not me, not my agenda, my plan, my outline, but please you be at work in and through this program to be glorified. So your voice would be heard and you would be a blessing. Okay, so how has that impacted my spirituality? Well, guess what? You, brothers and sisters that are listening to me, you're the microphone. Your life is the microphone. Your life, not, you don't have to be on Catholic radio to be a microphone. Yeah, it's, I guess it's salt, light, leaven, and microphone. You're a lamp and a microphone. Put your lamp on the bedstand, put your lamp for all to see, and be a microphone that's turned on and turned up and can amplify and be a place where the voice of Christ can shine forth. There are people that you will talk to today that other people won't. And you might be, again, that person that God is sending to be an angel, a messenger, to bring his voice into their lives. Do not doubt that, please. And even better, ask for it. Ask for the Lord to make you aware of the situations and people that you're encountering that, in fact, are those people where you are, in fact, being that microphone. And so just think about that. So that answers the question. How has this show impacted my personal spirituality? Okay, last four questions. How do I decide on the topics for my show? And what process do I follow to prepare for each broadcast? Okay, This one is fun. So topics for the show are connected to the, let's call it the overarching theme of the program, which is sound insight. I want you to have insight. I want you to see into, in a healthy way, sound, but also Puget Sound, meaning that locality. So there was a sense of saying, God has planted you here now and today into this world to live the life of faith. And that means there's a bit of drama. There's a bit of adventure. There's a bit of a sense of, wow, what's going to happen next? Because the Spirit of the living God is in me and is going to move through me. And therefore, stuff's going to happen. And that means there's always going to be a new testimony, something to say, something to share. So how do I decide on the topics of my show? It's what's happening in my life that would be relevant to your life and some kind of support, encouragement, or accountability for you in living your faith. So that's the first, like the first level. The second level is these pegs in the ground. The first peg in the ground is the Monday program with Father Nagel and Father Lewis, the Friday program with Carrie on faith and family. And then the programs in the middle of the week are a combination of guests that I have, and I'm going to have more guests on in upcoming weeks. I've got several of them that are lining up, and I'm excited about that. And then programs like this, where I show up and I'm like, Lord, what are the most important things happening in my life right now that are relevant to the people who are listening and might be a blessing to them to hear about? And that's the program. That's the program. Like I did the program on the four prayers that was leading up to the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And fasting, same thing. It was connected to what was happening in my life, but that's connected to what's happening in the church's calendar. And therefore, for faithful Catholics, it might also be something relevant to your life. Got it? See, there you go. Okay. Next, number 8. Hey, I'm going to get it. How has your role as radio host allowed you to engage with the Catholic community and the church? Well, on the West Side, when I was there up until 2016, we ended up doing all kinds of events, and we still today, especially those gift conferences that happen at St. Stephen the Martyr, and we'd have 800, somewhere between 700 and 900, in give or take, people at those events, and they were principally promoted through the radio. And so, you know, profound impact on the local church, as well as just ways that we have supported the bishops and various initiatives and policies and laws that are related to elections. And I don't have time to get into it all, but boy, what a beautiful platform for the bishops to be able to lean on us, to be able to bring their messages out to the faithful across the state of Washington. What a gift Sacred Heart Radio is, as well as an actual platform for the bishops themselves, Archbishop Brunette in particular, Bishop Daly here. I know how much Bishop Tyson in Yakima is such a fervent supporter and promoter of Catholic radio in his diocese. So community involvement, absolutely. Okay, industry changes. How has the radio industry changed over the last 20 years? And what adaptations have you had to make? I'd say this. This actually goes back to the mid-2000s. So around 2006 or 7, I raised up a vision to my team. And I said, look, we're not a radio program that gets turned into a podcast. Let's be a podcast that also happens to be heard on the radio. Does that make sense? I would say that if you go listen to podcasts now, a lot of podcasts are just radio programs that get then chunked down into bite-sized sections or segments on the radio, on podcasts. And yet I felt like podcasts were much more conversational and familiar and free-flowing and have a spontaneity to them. And that was much more suited to my style of being on the radio. And it was a differentiator back then. Now it's much more common if you listen to podcasts, but that was, I would say, something that has certainly caught on much more in even Catholic radio, is this idea that a podcast has a particular flavor and style to it. And for me to be able to continue to operate in that mode on radio, has been, I would say, one of the biggest changes. The biggest changes is that others have caught on to that idea, and I think it's still going to just grow. So the use of the internet to broadcast, as well as to take the radio format and bring it into a podcast version. Okay. Last question. Looking forward, what aspirations do you have for your career and your program? Wow. I would say something that Amy D'Angelo, she's the producer of this program and has been for years. She's like, Tom, you should do it live on the internet. You should stream your program live. Really, that would have a big impact. And that's something that I don't know if I really aspire to it, but it's something that I'm thinking about. So there you go. All right. There are my 10 questions. God bless your day. Join me tomorrow.